Flags in Nashville. The ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
And it's that time again. It is time for the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. How are you doing tonight, Terry?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling a lot better than I have in the last 3 weeks. I still have a little hearing problem in my one ear, but we're good to go. And how do I sound? Do I sound like...
Terry, you sound fine. You just got to stay out of them hospitals, man. Hang out at the racetrack. The heck with them hospitals, man. No fun.
It just needs to warm up so we can go racing.
And this is the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, and I'll tell you, Terry, it's warm in Florida. It's warm.
I do not want to hear it because our first guest is in Wisconsin.
Well, let's do it.
Probably don't want to hear it either.
Let's do it. It's going to be a while before they get racing up there, but let's talk about it anyway.
All right. I want to introduce our first guest. I really don't know how to introduce our first guest, Jack, because he is the master of ASA Late Model Series setups and crew chiefs. He won an award at this year's banquet. I'm not exactly sure what for, but he did, and I'll ask him what it was. And he has been in the business, I'm afraid to say how long he's been in the business. He might get upset.
What's his name, Terry?
Howie Leto. Welcome to the show, Howie.
It's great to be with you.
Yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Well, first, let's start about a little bit of your past. Just give the listeners, Howie, a little taste of who you've been crew chief for in the ASA in the past.
Well, I've been pretty fortunate. I've always had very good drivers. We started out in ASA, I think, back in 1981. I was working with Pat Schauer, and he unfortunately lost his life at Winchester late in that season. I worked with Mark Martin a little bit in ASA. We ran a partial schedule 1 year. Worked with Ted Musgrave. We won the Rookie of the Year in 1987. Scott Hansen, worked with him for a number of years. Jimmy Johnson in 1998 and 1999, worked with him. Actually, that was the first oval track racing he did. He had come from off-road racing, and so we kind of got to work with him for a couple of years and kind of get him educated into the circle track racing, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with David Stremme in 2002 and had him for 1 year, and then he got a job with Ganassi the following season. And the last few years in the ASA Late Model Series, worked with Stephen Light, won the championship in 05 with him, and in 06 with Kelly Byers, and we were able to win the championship with him. And he also went on, both Stephen and him went on to the Busch Series, or now the Nationwide Series.
Mm-hmm.
And this last year I worked with Travis Stasso, and we won the championship again this year. And at the end of the season, Travis got a couple of races in a Craftsman truck, but having sponsorship problems down there, right now that's kind of in limbo right now. So Travis will be back, and we'll be running the full season this year again.
Well, you keep losing all your drivers. They just become stars. Travis is probably destined for big things.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, he did a real good job last year, and we're obviously going to go back and try and win that championship again this year. It's not a bad thing when you lose your driver, obviously. It's, you know, it gives you something to look forward to. You know, you kind of helped him along maybe a little bit, and help him get to the next level. And there's plenty of good young talent out there. It's just, you know, maybe you need a little help getting the right situation.
Another gentleman that you crew chief for that I remember really well is Tony Raine.
Oh, yeah. I did mention, forget to mention Tony. I shouldn't, because we won the National Tour Championship in 1996 with Tony.
Yeah.
And it was with him in 95 and 96, and it was a lot of fun. We had a really good time.
I remember the first time I ever met you and Tony was at Rockford Speedway, I think, for the National Short Track Championship.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was too many years ago.
But, yeah, that probably would have been back in probably 1995.
Right.
I'd have been down there and ran that.
So you mentioned you started this in 1981, and that's all you've ever done is a crew chief for in the ASA series, isn't that correct?
Well, I started in, you know, I owned a part interest in a car when I got started. Started in like a sportsman division, then moved up to late models for a few years, and that just got expensive. So then I kind of got out of that, and I just figured out it was easier to spend other people's money than my own. And I actually worked a full-time job until 1987.
Oh, okay.
And then from 1987 on, I've been doing this as on a full-time basis.
So what's up this year?
Well, we're about same as last year. We're going to run the ASA Challenge Division. We open up in about 3 weeks down at Tri-County Speedway in North Carolina, and we'll be moving to some bigger tracks this year. I think we have a race at Gateway in St. Louis and the Milwaukee Mile, Bristol, Tennessee. We got a race there again. And also a track that I really like is at Iowa Speedway in Newton, Iowa.
Is that, and how big is that track again?
That track's three-quarter mile.
Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Well, I-70, too. You got the I-70 Speedway. I don't know if the Challenge Division goes there or not, but I think you're going to Salem this year, too, aren't you?
We're going to Salem this year, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a good track for us. In fact, we with Tony Raines, we had the ASA touring. We set the track record there, which still stands today because obviously there's no more tour cars. But yeah, that was that's been a pretty good track for us over the years. That and Winchester Speedway.
Well, I was just going to say, what track does Salem you compare it to? Winchester's got to be one of them.
Winchester's probably the closest. I know I've had drivers that told me you go around Winchester and they find themselves holding their breath. You know, they may go two laps and not breathe because it's just kind of a white knuckler when you go around there. It's the difference between that place and Salem is it's smaller, and the corners are a tighter radius. And when you put that in about 33 degree banking up there, I mean the car just gets pounded into that racetrack, and it's quite a rush for those guys, especially the first time they've been on it.
So has any of Rush Chapman's changes that he threw at you guys this year, any of that provided some challenges for you, or is it just the same old deal?
No, it's Russ has done a real good job, you know. I mean, he's been working hard at, you know, trying to make a level playing field for everyone. And all it wasn't really so much changes. It was more so just making sure that the rules that they have are enforced.
Yeah, have you noticed the new oil pan deal? Where if you scrape the bottom and oil the track down, they're going to fine you?
Yeah, we a couple of years ago, we went to work and built like a little skid pan for underneath all our oil pans. Because I know the first, I've had problems with that already where I think it was at, a couple of years ago down at Pensacola, Florida, where we actually wore the oil pan right through, and
wow.
And after that we came out the next year and we had a skid pan on, and I know when we went to Iowa the first time, having not been there before, and that we basically had that skid plate so hot it warped from rubbing on the racetrack. So
running them soft springs, huh, Howie?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, do you want to do anything else, Howie? Are you perfectly happy and satisfied in the ASA? Have you ever had the hankering of maybe doing a full-time Busch deal or a Nationwide deal or anything like that?
Yeah, I've had my opportunities to go down there, and I just haven't really wanted to do that.
Let me ask you this: Does Johnson and Stremme, do they stay in touch with you at all? Do you still have contact with those guys when they go on to the big time? Do they just forget about you?
No, actually, I got together with Jimmy last fall. He was up here. A lot of the Cup cars, they come up, teams that come up here and test at Milwaukee for some of the, the Phoenix races and I think Loudon and whatnot. They do a lot of testing in Milwaukee. And we got together and spent some time that one afternoon out there at the mile. So that was kind of good to do. David, he's got a couple of late models that he races too, or has. He does some development work for some other drivers, developing drivers also. And
sure,
we talk quite a bit on the phone probably once every couple of weeks.
Yeah, we spent some time with him a few weeks ago, Jerry, on the just before the Lakeland Speed Fest deal. He spent some time with us on the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, and he went down there and he had some fun down at Lakeland, him and Kyle Busch.
Yeah, we won't talk about Kyle Busch. Anyway,
the last time I talked to David, he was kind of excited that besides running Rusty's car in Nationwide Series, he's, I believe, going to run some races in that 51 truck.
Right, Billy Ballou's truck.
Yeah, so he's pretty excited about that.
Yeah, he's staying busy, that's for sure.
I'll tell you, he was very gracious at Lakeland. He certainly made some new fans, no doubt, because of the way that he responded to the fans down there at Lakeland. He was very popular, and he took a lot of time to he went out of his way to accommodate the fans.
Yeah, David's a good guy. He grew up in Indiana, and he actually came from a racing family. His mother raced, his dad raced, I think still does race, his brother raced, and I know the year before we got together, he did some test driving for us and ran a few races for us. And at that point, he wasn't even driving anything. He was maintaining all their race cars for them and wasn't doing any driving himself. This was back in 2001. And,
yeah, I heard the story about his mom beating him, too, on the racetrack.
Yeah, I haven't seen her race, but I heard she was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Howie, we sure appreciate you being on the show. And I'm sure if you don't mind us calling on you throughout the summer to be on the show again, we would sure appreciate it. And I know we met down at the banquet, the ASA banquet. That was a cold time. What did you win your award for?
Actually, it wasn't an award. It was there's a movement that was started by a few people that I wasn't aware of until just recently that they're trying to get me inducted into the National Auto Racing Hall of Fame, I guess it is.
Oh, okay.
Or Late Model Hall, something like that. It's in Michigan. And so they've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes that I wasn't really aware of until I got to the banquet and presented me with all the letters from all the different people, the different drivers and whatnot that have wrote letters to that organization. So
that's got to be a thrill.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty nice. It was kind of fun reading all those letters. So
there you go.
They were all positive.
Yeah, they were all positive.
I know you haven't made many enemies, if any, throughout your career. But Howie, again, thanks again, and we'll be in touch with you down the road.
Okay.
Thanks, Howie. We'll talk to you soon, man.
You betcha.
Howie Leto. He is the creme of the creme of crew chiefs in the ASA.
Oh, okay, Jerry. That was very good. The creme de la creme. Very good, man. Hey, who all we have on the show tonight? The O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
We're going to have Michael Arnett on, who won the ARCA race at Daytona.
Yep.
And Tony D'Ambrose, who is just starting out in the ASA series. I met him at the banquet. He's going to be on. And also one of our favorite, Peter Cozzolino. And I just thought I'd get an old guard in here. And I met Peter at the ASA banquet. Not only is he old, but he doesn't have any hair.
Now you're making points with him before. I mean, this is going to be good.
Well, I hope he's not listening.
Okay, let's let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All right.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Yeah, buddy. And this is Real Racing USA, and we certainly get the stories from the drivers themselves. How about that, Terry?
Yep. Howie Leto was a great interview. He very informative, and I had no idea he had worked with so many people. Since 1981, and it was great to talk to Howie. But we have another, shall I say, old-timer as our next guest.
Easy now.
Peter Cosmo.
I hope Peter was not listening while you did before we went to our last break.
I'm glad he wasn't either.
Wow, I went from the young gun to being one of the veterans and to being one of the old-timers in about 2 years.
Welcome back to the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, Peter.
Oh, we're glad to be here.
I didn't introduce myself at the ASA banquet, but I was there. And
he was the guy over in the corner. He couldn't get his face out of the salad bowl.
Yeah.
You're about right. I mean, the appetizers there was fantastic. But the first time I actually met you, Peter, I've seen you on television many times, and I've seen your McDonald's car on television many times, but that was the first time I've actually met you face-to-face.
I hope I didn't disappoint you.
Well, I mentioned to Jack, you know, that you didn't have many hairs up there.
Well, I'll tell you, I guess that's what's making me an old-timer, you know, and I don't know whether it's just being married and having kids. Or I've had two kids in the last 3 years, and I've got a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old right now, and it's definitely accelerated the hair loss.
Well, it was nice to tan, though.
As you say, it might be an opportunity for a new sponsor.
Yeah. I'm not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
So,
go.
So, Peter, what do you do to get ready for North Carolina?
We're in the process right now of making some changes to the front geometry in the car and, you know, really doing pretty much a lot of the same as what we were doing because we had, we had fairly good cars last year. We had a real good motor program with McGonigal engines and, just working with a team and, you know, us working together. And, you know, where we really start to excel is when, especially we go to new tracks. It seems like we adapt to those tracks, you know, a little bit quicker than the majority. You know, Radford was a good example. I mean, we were, you know, out of the box about the same as everybody, and I feel like we dialed the car in a little bit quicker than everybody else. And, you know, during the race, I thought we had one of the, you know, the best handling cars out there. You know, it seems like when we go to a track that's been run forever, that, you know, people have really highly developed setups that, you know, sometimes we play a little bit of catch-up at those places. But, you know, it seems like the newer tracks is where we have some of the better races. So we're really looking forward to this race in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, you got also this year ORP and Gateway, and there's going to be another track that they haven't made the announcement yet, but there's another track that has been added.
Okay, they have added another one.
Right. Yeah. You want a scoop?
This is the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane on Real Racing USA. Give it to us, Terry.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things I wanted to ask you, Peter, now you've been running ASA probably as long as Howie Leto has been crew chief in ASA.
Maybe. I don't know about that, really. I mean, we ran, I think, really 2 years and then a couple of races in the old tour. And then we've run really the last 3 years in this series.
Right.
I think Howie's won several championships before we even looked at a stock car, to be honest.
Yeah, you were. Jimmy Johnson was gone by the time you got there, right?
Actually, I ran against Jimmy and Adam Petty for Rookie of the Year that year.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know,
okay.
Did you beat him?
We finished second to Jimmy, and Adam was third that year.
Wow. Well.
Yeah, so, I mean, we had a fairly decent season. And, you know, Adam went on to the Busch, and Jimmy stayed there, and, you know, we actually moved down to Indianapolis and went to build a team, you know, one of our own teams to go back to ASA, utilizing the, back then it was the Kendall Indiana Late Model Series, which is you know,
right.
Currently now CRA, but,
right.
You know, we've always wanted to make a home in ASA, and that's where we are, and you know, it's a place we can call home, you know, hopefully for many years to come.
And you know, Peter, you obviously, I mean, you're going out here to try to win the championship, and it thought just occurred to me, with only like 10 races, actually, what, 10 races on the schedule, is that's the whole deal for the challenge?
Yeah, it is.
Now, doesn't that makes every race like really important, as opposed to like, and a lot more pressure, I would think, rather than if you were running a 16 or 18 race season where, or more, where you could, yeah, you might be able to afford a slip up here or there, but when you're only running 10 races, man, that's got to be a lot more pressure.
Yeah, and it does make it tough. I mean, basically, you can't have a bad race if you want to win a championship. You know, this year we had a real good run going at Cedar Rapids, and we had a carburetor issue where one of the plugs in the carburetor cracked and started spraying fuel over and started a fire. And, you know, we were running second and right with the leader, and, you know, we basically fell out of the race because of that. And, you know, it just you can't make that up in a 10-race season.
Yeah.
You know, really kind of blew it right there. You know, you just got to have all good races, or you know, at least finish in the top 10 in almost all the races in order to win the championship. Because I mean, you know, Howie Leto and you know whatever driver he has in the car is going to be tough to beat him. You know, they're not going to have any bad races. You're going to have to beat them on the racetrack and you know, have that consistency, you know, to be on top at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, one DNF and you're done.
Yeah, yeah, but basically.
Just like last year, wasn't it Bo Slocum, Jack?
I was just thinking about him. I was just thinking about him, as a matter of fact, right.
He would have won the championship if he would have made the Bronson race.
Yeah, he missed that first race, and that was, other than that, I mean, he was then chasing Choquette, and without that, he would have probably won the championship.
And Jeff mentioned that in his acceptance speech of the championship, Jack. He said he was glad that Bo missed the first race.
Well, I'll tell you what, they all better be glad. They better hope that Jeff slows down, because right now, Peter, this kid's been, since about midway last year, he has been, on fire,
yeah,
man.
He's really come into his own and just put a string of, top five races together. And that's what it takes.
If he has anything
close to that this year, he's going to be tough.
You think if you finish top five every race, that'll win the championship?
It should. I mean, generally the championship's won with an average, usually less than that.
Right.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Yeah, don't forget about that ring for the champion this year too.
Oh yeah, that's kind of a neat deal. I had a chance to see a Super Bowl ring. And see what that how much of a piece of iron that was.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, having something like this for the ASA program. That's kind of a neat deal.
Peter, do you mind telling us whose Super Bowl ring you saw?
It was actually Forrest Lucas had it. Had one that he was given by the Colts. And
really?
Yeah, it's a piece of iron with there's a lot of clear stones in there.
Yeah, that's
well,
cool.
I don't think we'll have as many clear stones on the ASA championship ring, but there will be.
No, probably not. But
there'll be some on it, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, are you going to try and make every challenge race this year, or are you going to split it up?
No, we're fully committed to running the full challenge season this year, and really that's our focus. We probably aren't going to make all the North races right now, unless some funding changes. We may pick and choose a couple here and there, and then our main focus is going to be the challenge series, and just trying to do that right and not have any bad finishes, and try to. If we can keep them all in the top seven or eight finishing positions all year, we'll be there at the end.
Right.
Peter, are you a big NASCAR fan?
To be honest, I've watched it in the past. The last couple of years, I really don't watch it that much. it was neat to see, kind of an Indiana boy, win the Daytona 500. Ryan Newman, he had a heck of a show, and happy to see him finally get one.
I'm kind of like that too. I watched the first few laps of that race, and I watched the last four. That was it.
Yeah, well, generally at Daytona, the last two are all you need to watch.
And I don't know about you guys, but I just can't stand all the Toyota stuff that's going on. NASCAR.
Toyota? I thought it was Toyota, man.
Whatever.
What is that? What accent's that?
NASCAR sold out. And
why do you say that?
Well, because every third word out of the broadcaster's mouth was Toyota. Everything. If you would listen to the broadcast, I bet you Toyota was said 500 times compared to 100 times for Ford, Dodge, and Chevy.
And where was the highest finishing Toyota?
Third.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I hope.
I think, honestly, Toyota's pumping a lot of money into their program. And, supporting the NASCAR teams and supporting NASCAR. I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And, that gets you mentioned.
Hey, Peter, are you you're still selling Big Macs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just make sure of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have samples in your trailer?
We could have if you're looking for some, or maybe Donald gets it.
Well, every race I come to, Peter, I'll let you know, okay?
Okay. Yeah, definitely stop by. We're usually one of the better-fed teams there next to actually Howie's deal with Janet Billings cooking every weekend. you know, she prepares a feast over there, and, you know, they usually invite everybody over, too, and it's usually a pretty good time. And
well, that's why I'm getting food, close to Howie.
I get the sense that you really do this for fun and that you have a hell of a lot of fun at it, Peter.
Well, I mean, anymore, I mean, that's, you know, I have to be. You know, you wouldn't spend, you know, the kind of money it takes and devote the kind of time it takes and sacrifice, you know, so much around you to do it, you know, if it wasn't. You know, racing gets in your blood. You know, I really couldn't imagine doing anything else. You know, anytime I have a bad day at work or in the race shop or even out at the racetrack, I mean, you just think about what would you be doing if you weren't doing this. And, you know, even a good day at a lot of, you know, even well-paying jobs, you know, wouldn't make up for, you know, some of the highs that you have when you're, you know, on top at a racetrack and winning races. So,
sure.
You know, that's what keeps driving us.
Well, we want to thank you, Peter, for coming on the show again. And I'm sure throughout the summer we will have you on some more, especially after that first challenge win.
Oh, we can't wait. You know, we've won two ASA Tour races and one challenge race win, and we're looking to add to that. We need a few more check marks in the win column here. So
yeah, there you go, Peter Cozzolino.
That Big Mac in the winner's circle.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah,
all right.
It'll be glad to talk to you guys.
See you at the track, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, Terry, we're going to move right along here. Who do we have? Who are the two guys we have coming up?
Michael Arnett, the ARCA winner of the Daytona.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And Tony D'Ambro. And
yeah, we're going to be right back, and we'll leave it at that. We'll be right back here at the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
All right. You're going to call me back.
This is Logan Ruffin, driver of the Torco Chevrolet Monte Carlo on O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane on Rio Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
We're back here with the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane for this Wednesday night, February the 20th, 2008. Getting closer and closer to the first ASA Late Model Challenge Division race, and that is at Tri-County Motor Speedway in Hudson, North Carolina on March 15th. And I want to remind our listeners that on Monday night we have, for Florida race fans, we have Inside Florida Racing, a two-hour show on Monday night. On Tuesday night, we have Real Racing USA, and that's Real Racing USA Live, and we cover everything from drag racing to boat racing to circle track racing, you name it. If it races, We cover it. And then on Wednesday night before our show, normally we have the Straight Lining with Stevie show, which is a drag racing show par excellence from Stevie LaTemp, who's the announcer for the IHRA. And, Terry, we're back here at the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. How you doing? We ready to roll here?
Yes, we are. We have our next guest is one of the few people that has visited the Daytona Victory Lane, Jack. Michael Arnett. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is indeed an honor, Michael.
Yeah, it is an honor.
Absolutely.
One of the questions I have, now that you visited Daytona Speedway Victory Lane, what else is there, Michael?
You know, hopefully we can win that Hoosier Speedway Championship. We're only running about a dozen ARC races this year, so we're not going for the points championship, but they have that Speedway Championship, so hopefully we can win that and win some more races this year. And you know, we're going to do some nationwide stuff towards the end of the year, and if we can get some, you know, good runs from there, you know, we'll definitely be happy about it.
Michael, for those of us that didn't catch the race, give us a rundown on like how this whole thing went. How'd you pull this off?
You know, we qualified third, and you know, our plan through the whole week was just to, you know, get a good qualifying spot and stay up front. We knew we had a good car for the draft, so. You know, we qualified third, and we were running up front the whole, you know, pretty much the whole race. There was a point there where, you know, a lot of the cars up front came and got four tires and fuel, and there's some cars that pitted earlier that stayed out. And so I think we restarted about 15th after that pit stop, and, you know, we were lined up behind about four of the good cars that, you know, changed tires when we did, and we just, you know, went up to the high line and started moving up through those cars that hadn't changed, and that was actually what caused that 20 car wreck there early. And we were able to get by that, and you know, Sparta did a good job, and I got up top and missed that wreck by about a foot. And you know, after that, we you know, we didn't do any more pit stops, and we just stayed up front the whole time, and they really couldn't get a good run on us to get by.
Well, that had to be an adrenaline rush getting by a 20 car wreck.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot closer than it needed to be. It makes you realize how quickly you can, you know, take a race-winning car and, you know, turn into a pile of junk.
Yeah.
So you're going like 180 miles an hour there, something thereabouts? Faster?
Yeah, the draft, we're up around 201.
Holy cow.
Single car runs, you're about 190.
I gotcha. Okay.
Now, was that a you're signed with Richard Childress, correct?
No, I'm with Bill Davis Racing.
Bill Davis. Now, was that one of Bill Davis's car?
Yeah, that was a car that Blaney drove at Daytona in July, and that was the same car that we won at Talladega with.
Oh, okay. I get these signings confused. But do you have an inside deal on the Jacques Villeneuve thing? That was a really shocker when that announcement was made. That Mike Skinner is going to be running the car out in California.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know much about it. I just know that, you know, this sport, you know, it's sponsorship driven, and Jacques, they thought they had a sponsorship lined up, and it fell through, and you know, then it turned out they need to get that car in the top 35 in points. So
right,
they figured putting a veteran like Mike Skinner in, you know, that would just increase their chances of, you know, getting that car through the first five races in the top 35.
So you're going to run all these ARCA races, and at the end of the year, the nationwide deal for Bill Davis Racing?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we're going to run, you know, it's either 10 or 12 ARCA races and a handful of nationwide races.
Now, do you think the ASA experience you got before you moved up to ARCA really benefited you?
Oh, definitely. Just any seat time you can get in a full-bodied stock car, definitely just a it helps you a ton. And, you know, ASA cars, they're all about, you know, momentum, and with these heavy cars, momentum, you know, it's a big part of it. So that my ASA experience definitely helped me.
Are you going to run any ASA this year?
No, we're gonna run those ARCA nationwide races, and we're also gonna do some Silver Crown stuff. But we're selling off all our ASA stuff.
Silver Crown. Okay.
Do you have a background in that?
We ran two Silver Crown races last year towards the end of the year in that style car, but I think they're going to switch over back to the old style car, and we're going to get one of those. And, you know, I think there's five races on the schedule for pavement, so we'll probably run those five races.
But what did you originally drive when you first got started in stock car racing or in circle track racing, let's put it that way? What did you run, and how did you progress along?
I started when I was 18 in a Mid-American stock car running at the Hawkeye Downs in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and we ran there for a summer. Then followed that next year we ran in the ASA North Series, and last year we did the Challenge Series, and I think we ran four ARC races last year towards the end of the year.
So you didn't race when you were real, real young?
No, I didn't start until I was 18.
Wow, that's what I thought you said. That's unusual, Michael.
Yeah, it's a different path, but, you know, it's definitely worked for us, I guess. If
yeah, I would say.
You have it, and it doesn't really matter when you start.
Yeah, I guess so.
Exactly, right, yeah.
That's cool. Go ahead, Terry.
So Hawkeye Downs is one of the places that B.J. McLeod, I used to do PR work for B.J. McLeod when he was 13 years old, tried to qualify for the old tour at Hawkeye Downs. And so is that your home track?
Yeah, I like to consider Iowa Speedway my home track. I love that place, and it's only about 30 minutes from where I live in Des Moines, or I used to live in Des Moines, but you know, I love that track, and we've had some good runs there, and just that place is just a lot of fun.
And you have a favorite track other than that one? Probably Daytona, huh?
Daytona was a lot of fun. My favorite track I've probably driven on was Gateway, just because the ARCA cars, they still shift there getting into 1 and 2, so, you know, that track was a lot of fun. It's kind of like two drag strips, and then you know, get on the brakes and downshift and turn, and then you start grabbing gears, and it was a lot of fun.
Did you know that the Challenge Series is going to be at Gateway this year?
No, I knew they were talking about it. I never knew if that finally got on the schedule or not.
Yep.
That track's a lot of fun, and those cars would be a lot of fun to drive there.
They're going to be a support for the Craftsman Truck Series.
I see, yeah. I was upset they took a Gateway off the ARCA schedule, but, you know, that track, it's just a ton of fun to drive there.
Now, are you running, what number are you running in the nationwide deal?
I have no clue. Probably 92. That's the number that, you know, Bill Davis has been in the past in the Busch Series.
Yeah. Cool.
What's your number in ARCA?
28.
Yep. Old Davey Allison number.
Yep, yeah, it's pretty cool.
You did him proud.
Pretty cool being able to run with that number.
So you're steadfast going towards you know, with all these name changes, Jack, I'm confused. But
that's why I just call it NASTICAR and get it over with.
You're going to go to the Sprint Cup Series eventually.
I hope so. I mean, I think that's the plan for any aspiring race car driver, but you know, this sport's, it's success-driven, so if we get some success and, you know, everything lines up, you know, hopefully we'll be there in a couple of years.
Well, Mike, go ahead, Jack.
Well, I was just going to say, Michael, when you get to the big time and you get one of them boardrooms there, just tell them that some old hippie who runs a radio show down in Florida, he said he thinks y'all ought to name this thing the Dale Earnhardt Cup and get over with it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, but like Michael said earlier, it's sponsor-driven.
Yeah, the Dale Earnhardt Cup
plays a big part of it.
Presented by Sprint.
Yeah. I agree with you. That would be cool.
Yeah, well, good luck, man. We wish you the best, and we'll be watching for those 28 and 92, man.
Definitely. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, we'll have you on probably throughout the summer. We'll be watching you.
Cool.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
you.
Michael.
Bye.
Michael,
wow.
Michael Arnett.
Yeah, a Daytona winner.
Yeah, Daytona in the ARCA deal, and that's I didn't realize they go just as fast as the other cars. I don't know what I was thinking there. I was thinking they
have spoilers, not
yeah. Okay, Terry. All right. And we have another guest coming up here.
Yep, Tony D'Ambrose. We're gonna get him on the horn, and He's a new guest, new driver in the ASA, and should be an interesting conversation.
Be right back.
All right.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star Race Car Bodies. 5-star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA Late Model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we hit one too many buttons there, but we are right back, as we, just like the man said. You know, Terry, before we get to our next guest here, I want to tell you, that little rascal, Logan Ruffin, he put a hurting on him down at New Smyrna there at Speed Weeks, man, at the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. People are going to get a kick out of this thing all year long, I can tell you, because he's so small. And he's so well spoken, and he can drive. He won the Crate Late Model Championship there at the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing, and he had there was a lot of great competition. There was an average of like 28 cars in every race, I believe. There was over 45 people competed, and it was pretty amazing to see.
Did he do a good burnout?
You know, I wasn't there for. I did not see him. I wasn't there for any of the races that he was there, and so I didn't really see that, but. We talked to him on Monday night's Inside Florida Racing Show, as a matter of fact,
right.
and he said his whole family had a great time, and we look forward to that whole deal. And let's go ahead now with our next guest.
All right. I met this gentleman, and I used to, gentleman, at the ASA banquet, and we talked shop, and we actually had some common interests as far as contacts and stuff. I want to welcome Tony D'Ambrose. Welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane Show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Great to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. First thing I want to ask you, Tony, is a little bit of your background, where you started, where you come from, and where you're at the moment.
Long story short, Pierre, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I started in karts, actually, going out to Richard Tagenhorst. He passed away on Monday of last week, and
wow.
He started me, my first car owner, and it's been a kind of an ongoing deal, but good guy. If it wasn't for him, I was chasing around like a crazy little kid at the age of 12 in the grandstands at Grundy, and he put my spunk to work, so we did, won some championships, a little bit of Rookie of the Year here and there, and I got to say, anybody starting out, if they pass up the entry-level divisions, don't do it. Get a chance, you got to go beat fenders, because it's way better to knock fenders off a hobby stock than it is a late model. But that was my next venture. Dad was always into racing at Raceway Park in Blue Island, and he's been building
cars
for almost 20 years now. We build our own deal, and at being homegrown, if I didn't have a family that built stuff on a regular basis, I wouldn't be doing it. But
you remember Bud Kaler?
Oh, yeah. I got pictures of my mom kissing Bud on the cheek, giving him the championship trophy. I've got one of Raceway's old jackets that she was wearing with it. So, yeah, Bud, good old dude, that's for sure.
Yeah. He won many races there. And also, I worked with Ray Freeman. I don't know if you remember Ray
Freeman.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't know Ray. I'm too young for that. But know of him, that's for sure. It went from carts to late models. And I kind of struggled real hard trying to afford to put tires on them and stuff every year, but Dad wasn't along with helping. And my dad ran a car full-time, did some ASA stuff, and that's probably where my ASA ventures have come from. I've been to Milwaukee and Cayuga, and it was funny, had Butch and Sean Murphy. I was their car chief for last year, and been to a lot of the tracks, and I live in Indianapolis, outside of Indy. They went to North Carolina and just wasn't up for that. I've been there, and I love my family and like to do some racing myself this year. So,
well, that leads into my next question. What is your plans for 2008? I know it's contingent on money.
Yeah,
but
it's a dead president, right? Yeah, it's, that's exactly what it is. There we're looking to do. We really want to go to North Carolina, and it's 80% there. Where McGonigal is doing a freshen up on our heavy motor. We actually got a Ford Tech One race cars that's going together, and that won't be done till probably April for the IRP race, which we're hoping to debut there with that. But the Chevy we're trying to take to North Carolina to, in hopes to plug along. We got Indianapolis Scale online tentatively to do some stuff in April with us to help with tires and expenses. And that's kind of where we're at. If we can go to North Carolina, it's early enough. It's one race, 1 month. Get that out of the way and go from there. You know, that's, we're kind of putting a proposal together with ASA with the High Groove Marketing and try and get something going and see where it goes from there. I've been working on everybody else's stuff for a long time, and we went to Ileana last year with the Chevy that we bring to Tri-County, and we broke the track record. And then I always tease Hoffman. I love Eddie. He's a cool cat. He come out and bushwhacked us. We chased him for the win at in the limited division. So we run there four or five times. At Grundy and Ileana is my home track. And
his car's wider than other people's, isn't it?
I think it is, Jack. I think it is. It mysteriously, you know, you get next to it for the starting grid, and it looks okay. But, boy, when you're chasing his spoiler, it sure is wide in a hurry.
I'll tell you, down at Lakeland at the Speed Fest earlier this year, it was a Sunday thing because it was delayed because of rain on Saturday, and Sean Murphy got up behind him after having to come from the rear after a flat tire, and he spent about 50 laps right on Eddie's bumper, man. And it was something to see. It was one of the best races. Many people down there said it was the best race they'd seen in Lakeland in years.
Well, that's good. That's what we need. That's what it's definitely about. It was I hated to hear that he went around, but I talked to Eddie before he got on the airplane to come back, and he said that it wasn't Sean's fault, so I was glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, it was one of them things, man.
Yeah, I was and actually really good friends with Deanne Deneau, the crew chief for that deal, and he texted me when they were in Victory Lane, and they were excited. So I didn't hear about the spin until later. So you never know how that controversy goes, you know.
Well, Eddie Hoffman's one of the good guys in racing.
Oh yeah.
Now, I can mention a few bad guys, but I won't.
Come on, now, that wouldn't do no good.
No. So, but Eddie Hoffman's one of the good guys. Butch Miller, Howie Leto, about everybody associated with the ASA is good guys, except for that guy.
Right.
Remember that guy at the seminar? He kept bringing up stuff and pissing off Russ Chapman.
Oh yeah. I'm
about the alternator and stuff.
Yep, I'm terrible with names.
But I don't remember his name either. But anyway, there are. I mean, it's not like the old days. I mean, there were good guys in the old days too. Bob Seneca and
Sure.
And Butch Miller and I won't mention my caddy. But but anyway.
Well, I've been surrounded by racing all my life, and like Peter said earlier, it's definitely in your blood. I don't know what else I would do either. Don't know. My stepdad raced, and he actually raced under an alias so that his mom wouldn't get up after him and shut the program down. So it raced.
Really?
Definitely something you got to do every day if you're into it.
He raced under an alias.
Yeah, they actually, I can't remember what his first one was, but ultimately James Bond was what he went with.
I know James Bond.
Yeah, James Bond married my mother. They've been happily married for 27 years now. And my dad, you remember Larry Middleton?
Oh, yeah.
My father owned Larry Middleton and Pat Eklund's championship cars. This brings up something I think about. My dad won 33 features as a car owner in 1984, and I can't even imagine. We did 56 races collectively with 8 guys last year at SS Racing with Sean Murphy and Butch and Gary Schemmel. And, man, I just don't know where they got that kind of energy.
Or money.
Yeah, I was at an event at New Smyrna Speedway on Friday, and it was a modified driver's reunion from up north in the Northeast. And there were all these old codgers, in their 70s and 80s, many of them who, say had never met because they raced in New York, and some of the guys that they had always heard about but they'd never met maybe raced in Massachusetts. And some of them guys, we were interviewing all these guys, man, and they were talking like they raced 122 races in a year. And one of the guys that we were working with there, he asked him, he said, how did anybody manage to hold down a job? And the guy said, I forget, they lost their jobs.
Yeah, their job was holding down the trailer hitch.
That's right.
And used tires to get to the next show. That was their job.
Yeah, it's too funny.
No, it's definitely different. It's racing is definitely a way of life, that's for sure.
I remember, you're talking about finances and racing and different things, and this story that happened over the Daytona weekend, they had the past champions there.
Okay.
And you remember Freddie Lorenzen?
I know the name.
Yeah, he's out of Chicago, and his very first race car, he had financed through a bank.
Okay.
And he took the title of the car to the bank, and they financed the car, but it was a stock car. And he made enough money every week to pay, every month to make the payment.
Yeah,
not that way anymore.
No.
Yesterday I said if I didn't have my dad with Tech One and we building our own cars and uppers and lowers and that kind of stuff, I couldn't afford to do it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Not on my own, anyways. No.
Well,
hopefully that'll change for this year. But,
well, are you going to Tri-County?
That's on the list, and McGonagall is supposed to have the motor done. They've been a little bit behind, but they're doing a good job, and they're supposed to have the motor done here next week. And if we can get that in there and get her done right, then, that's what I plan on doing for the first show. We got that spreads them out enough. We're trying to get the Ford done and have that one ready for IRP. So, we're gonna see what things bring if we can get to Tri-County and the challenge races. With everything only being, it's nice with Sandy and Ron splitting it up, it's only 10 races per deal, and
I think
the U.S. Pro is 7 or 8 tentatively. I've never been to Milwaukee as far as a driver. I've won there with the ARCA cars and that kind of stuff, crewing and car chiefing, and I want to go run some of these tracks myself if I'm not working full-time for somebody else, so... That's what we're planning on doing as of right now. But we want to go to, definitely we'll be at IRP. That's in our backyard. It's an easy one to get to. But we keep knocking fenders off or breaking hard parts. We won't be making too many. But I got a pretty good record of keeping my fenders on. So I started, Butch Miller called me, and I put Hank in 2005, his son, in my car is a lease deal, which we do part-time. And we broke the track record at Kalamazoo, and I think we ended up running ninth. I was way too many hours invested and left the trailing arm loose. But then the end of that year, we put Eddie Hoffman in his first ASA late model series ride with our car, and same deal, broke the track record at La Crosse, and I think we ran third there. So we got good equipment, and that's what we want to do is have, if we're not ready to go, we're not going, so we want to have good finishes. And I don't have near enough laps under my belt to chase Eddie around too many times, so that's what we're looking for is to get in the Challenge Series, and your price per lap is definitely cheaper to do that if you can figure travel time and that kind of stuff. So you go run 200 laps, that's 10 nights of racing at your local track. So
yeah. Well, Tony, we want to sure appreciate you being on the show.
Sure enough.
Make sure you tell your family and friends about it. Real Racing USA, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Definitely.
I understand you were listening earlier.
Yeah.
See, he didn't talk bad about you, Tony, like he did Peter.
I was up for that. I don't know. You might want to stay away from Peter. He's sensitive about his
transport. Well, we sure appreciate you being on the show, and I kept my promise. I told you I'd call you and have you on the show. And
you did.
And
appreciate it.
We'll be talking to you throughout the summer. Good luck in getting to Tri-County, and good luck after you get there.
Well, we'll see you guys soon. Jack, nice to meet you.
Yeah, see you soon, man. We'll see you at the track.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. Thanks, Terry.
Bye-bye.
All right, Terry.
Tony D'Ambrose.
All right, so now we told him what we were going to tell him.
Right.
And then we told him. Now, what did we tell him?
I don't know.
Who did we have on tonight?
We had on Howie Leto.
Yeah.
Peter Cozzolino.
The old one.
The old one. Mike Arnett. And Tony D'Ambrose.
That's pretty cool.
Good show, Jack.
Coming up here right after, as soon as we get out of the way, we have last night's Real Racing USA live show, which starts off with Jeff Choquette, a recap of his whole deal over at New Smyrna, and then a full recap of what went on at the New Smyrna Speed Weeks.
Right.
We also have, we got all kinds of things on that show, a couple hours worth of really good interviews, everything from women dirt racers and super late models to you name it. I mean,
Wait a minute. You said women dirt racers and super late models?
Oh, yeah. And Valerie Thompson with her new sponsor, her new Ion sponsor. And she's going from the all Harley drag racing deal in the racing Harleys at 100 and, well, doing 6 second or doing 8 second quarter miles. She's now moved up to the NHRA. And she's going to have to be, like, doing 6 seconds. She's going to have to break the 7 second deal to be competitive.
It's a lot easier to go straight and turn left.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But, yeah, there's all we got. That's coming up right after us, and we're just about out of here. So, let's see. ASA Fastlane. We've been keeping up with this pretty good. What do you think?
Oh yeah. Apologize for being sick for the last couple of weeks, but I'm on.
Don't let it happen again, Terry.
I'm sorry?
Don't let it happen again.
I promise.
All right. This is the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.